Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
If you have your Bible and want to go with me over to the Gospel of Mark, we were just there for the baby dedication, but this time we're going to be in Mark chapter 7. And I want to begin by reading verses 24 through 30. Mark chapter 7. Verses 24 through 30. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. So Mark 7 tells the story about Jesus traveling north into the land of modern Lebanon to the ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The trip north marked the beginning of a new period in Christ's ministry and the close of his ministry in Galilee. The year was 30 AD. It's now less than a year before Jesus would die on the cross. And so Jesus had a definite purpose not only in leaving Galilee, but also in coming to this region. Jesus needed to teach his disciples the importance of laboring for everybody, not just the Jews, but for non-Jews. Even the heathen needed the gospel. These cities had existed for centuries. They were there when the Hebrews came from Egypt to the land of Canaan. The Philistines lived there during the days of King David. And even though a lot of Jews lived there, it was not a Jewish city. It was a Canaanite city filled with heathen people that were looked down on by the Jews. They considered these heathen people unclean and unacceptable to God. And so in order to keep themselves holy, the Jewish people had cut themselves off from the rest of the world. They did business with the heathen, but they kept themselves separate socially. They didn't want any uncleanness to rub off on them. The Jews weren't opposed to others learning their beliefs, but they didn't want to go out of the way to teach anyone their truth. So Jews don't evangelize. They're not opposed. If you want to learn, if you seek them out, but they're not going to seek you out. So this visit to that region, it was on Jesus' bucket list. It was something that he really had to do. He wanted to do it before he died. Do any of you have a bucket list? I actually have one that's been written down for about 20 years now, and it has things like see every state in the United States. I've seen 48, and I'm hoping to see the other two someday. Run a marathon, so I've run two marathons, and there's a bunch of other things on there. Well, Jesus had this bucket list, and it was something he needed to do before his death. And so Jesus hoped to keep, at first he wanted to keep his visit a secret. He went into seclusion, but someone found out that he was there, and word spread like wildfire. And everyone had heard stories about Jesus being in Galilee and the wonderful things that he had done. And now he's in their own hometown, and for some that was wonderful news. And so this Greek woman, she was among those that heard the news. Jesus is in town. And so her daughter was sick with seizures, possessed by a demon that threw the child into convulsions. It was heart-wrenching for the mom to see her little girl suffer. The girl's life was on the line and her mom knew it. And so when the mom found out that Jesus was in town, she did an all-out search. Have you ever been desperate to find something or someone? I remember when I was a teenager living at home, we lived in the country, and my dad raised a big garden every year, and he had this big tractor with a turning plow on it, and it's in the spring, and he's out there turning up new ground. And those of you that are farmers that have familiarity with that, you know, it's literally turning this dirt over, and then you come along with a disc and disc it up. And then you come along and you can lay out your rows. Well, he had been turning all this ground over, and usually he never carried his wallet with him, but this time he had his wallet. And it just hit him. Somewhere in that process, his wallet was gone. So those of you that do farming, I hope you don't have your wallet in your pocket when you're on the tractor. And he comes to the house, and my younger sister, she's 16 months younger than me, and he said, "My wallet is out there, and you're looking at several acres of turned over soil. What are the odds to be able to find it, especially when you're doing this with the soil?" And so we scattered out, and I know it's a God thing. I was going down one row, and there was his wallet just laying on the ground. And I picked it up, and I said, I found it. And boy, was he was a happy camper. You can imagine this mom. She was desperate to find Jesus. This might be her only opportunity. It was now or never to see Jesus, and she searched. Her mind was flooded with questions. First of all, could she find Jesus? Secondly, would he even listen to her? Because after all, she wasn't Jewish. And then thirdly, could she convince him to heal her daughter? There's one question that she did not have. She didn't wonder whether or not Jesus had the ability. She believed. She believed he had the power to do it. She had heard the stories, but could he be convinced to bother with a nobody, a non-Jew like her? So when she finally found Jesus, she called out, "Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed by a demon. She's suffering." And you could almost hear her anxiety in her voice. Anyone that's ever had a child that's sick and suffering, you can sympathize with her. We would do anything for our kids. We would absolutely do anything for our kids. And Jesus heard her cry, but he didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. He didn't even look over at her or answer her or even acknowledge her. And you know, being ignored. How do you feel if you are ignored? It's hard, isn't it? Emotionally. Have you ever felt like you were invisible? Nobody notices, nobody cares? Maybe if so, then you might be able to feel her pain. Have there been times when it seemed as though God was ignoring you? In spite of your great need, which God had to know about, since he knows everything, and your repeated begging of his help, he doesn't answer. He doesn't seem to even know that you exist. You know, many times you can scream. How many times can you scream and shout at the ceiling or the sky before you're just convinced that God doesn't care what happens to you or those that you love? Many people have given up belief in God entirely after it seemed as though God wouldn't listen to their prayers. So, you know, it's one thing if you're not sure whether or not God really even exists. It's another when you know that God exists, but you believe he won't listen to you. Well, this Greek mom didn't give up. She kept shouting over and over, "Lord, have mercy! Help my daughter! Heal my daughter! Help me, Jesus!" But Jesus continued to ignore her. No response at all from him. She must have shouted for quite a while because finally the disciples came. And you can actually read this in Matthew 15, verse 23. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Tell the woman to go away if you're not going to help her. She's making a scene." At this point, Jesus stopped and he turned to face the shouting woman. And when she saw him turn to her, she fell to the ground again right at his feet. Hope came alive in her heart because he looked at her. And this was his first sign of hope. He looked at her and she said, "Lord, help me." Jesus looked down at her and said something that for many Christians it's hard to understand. And it's right there in Mark 7. Here's what he said. "It's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." It's like, ouch. Did he really just get through calling her a dog? First of all, you need to know that it was not uncommon for Jews in Jesus' time to refer to outsiders as dogs, as animals, as rejects. The Jews had convinced themselves that since God had given them more truth, He loved them more. They were God's chosen people. They were His teacher pets. They were His favorites. And they were destined to rule the other nations as the most powerful country in the world. I'm sure you felt the pain. It happens as you sit in church and you listen to other people praise God about answers to their prayers. Things seem to work out well whenever they pray, but for you, nothing works out. You pray and pray, but nothing. You don't seem to be able to get an answer. Sometimes you feel like the only dog in the church. Everyone else seems to be treated like God's children, receiving the bread of life and the blessings that they deserve, but not you. And so you start thinking to yourself, I must not qualify in some way. I'm too sinful, too lazy, too busy, just not worthy of God's love to the same degree that others are. And so you sit there hoping for a crumb to fall from the Lord's table. Do you really think Jesus is that cruel? No. Does Jesus play favorites? No. Does He have teacher's pets? I don't believe so. Did Jesus really consider the Greek woman to be as unworthy as a dog compared to His Jewish children? Does He really care more about some people today, treating them like beloved children while others He totally ignores? Well, you know that He does not. All through His life, Jesus reached out to people beyond the Jews. And I'm going to give you just four quick examples. We're not going to look these up, but they'll be familiar to most of you. First of all, the story in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well, she was Samaritan. He reached out to her, and you probably know that story well. In Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 1, it's the story about Jesus healing the centurion's servant. So a Roman centurion's servant would have been Gentile, and Jesus reached out. In Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it's the story about the demon-possessed man that's naked and crazy and living in the cemetery over on the eastern shores in the Gadarenes. And you know the story where Jesus heals him and the legion of evil spirits that go and into the pigs and they run down and drown in the sea. You know that story? So those are three. And then the fourth story is our story here today in Mark chapter 7. The evidence points to a Jesus who isn't prejudiced against outsiders, who doesn't have favorites or treat people differently. We serve a Jesus who listens to anyone who cries out in need of help in those days and today. And I think this is an important lesson that even the disciples needed to learn. And so here's the thing. The disciples needed an attitude adjustment. Have you ever needed an attitude adjustment? My wife has given me one several times in our almost 46 years of marriage. Sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. Those of you that are husbands, can you say amen if your wife has ever given you an attitude adjustment? Yeah. Nathan didn't speak, but. So here's the thing about the disciples. If the disciples were going to take the gospel, Jesus is less than a year away from dying on the cross. And then you have the stories in the book of Acts. If the disciples are going to take the gospel to the whole world, they had to overcome their prejudices against non-Jewish people. They needed to understand that God cared as much for the lost sheep in other nations as He did for the lost sheep in Israel. Jesus wanted to teach His disciples a lesson about the width of God's love. It reminds me of the song, "Deep and Wide, Deep and Wide, There's a Fountain Flowing Deep and Wide." Do you know that song? It's talking about the depth and the width of God's love. And another song, I asked Evie if she would help me sing it. I don't know if she will. She can stay right there with her grandmas. And if she wants to sing, but it says, "Jesus loves the little children." red and yellow, black and white. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All of them. All of them. When you look at this story in Mark 7, from the perspective of Jesus teaching his disciples a valuable lesson, that's an entirely new approach. And I believe that Jesus heard the woman the first time. He knew what she needed. He also knows what we need. And by helping her, he could continue to teach his disciples how badly the rest of the world needed to hear about God's love. He could continue to push to break down the walls between the Jews and the rest of the world. So at first, Jesus ignored the woman's cries like any Jew would. He was showing the disciples how most Jews approach this situation. The Jews felt that the blessing of salvation would be wasted if given to Gentiles who lacked the capacity to appreciate these things. And the truth is, the disciples probably felt that way too, to the point where they asked Jesus to send her away. She's making a scene. So do you get embarrassed when someone is making a scene? I have to admit, I do, if they're a family member especially. And so years ago, Nathan was a teenager at the time, and his brother Aaron. We were living in Maryland and pastoring there. And we had gone to Washington, D.C. And we'd been there before, but now my wife's parents from Arkansas came to visit. And we wanted to show them the sights in downtown Washington, D.C. Now, who's been there? Have you been to Washington, D.C.? Okay, a number of you have. Traffic down there and parking is almost impossible. And so what most people do is they park on the outskirts of the city in these park and ride areas, big parking lots, and then the tram or the subway system comes along and you can ride the subway into town, and it makes it a lot easier. And that's what we did. And you know, I used to think when you go, we're going to go see the Smithsonian. It's not how it works. Even in one day, I don't know that you could thoroughly see one of the buildings. Last count, I think where there were 12 or 14 huge and maybe more. I don't know now. Somebody will Google it and tell me after church, I'm sure. Huge Smithsonian buildings, multi-story, and then the Smithsonian Zoo is another story. And so we saw those, and now it's time to go home. And we're coming home during rush hour traffic, and so the subways, these things are, they're cram-packed. And so what happens is, when it comes into a station, the doors open. It's like an underground train. It stops, the doors open, and people are pouring out of there like sardines. And as soon as they're out, there's all these other people that are on the platform that are trying to get in. And you're trying to get in before the thing is all automated and it shuts and it takes off. And so somehow, Pat's mother got separated from us in the commotion. And so, well, the good news is we were all on there. And if you've ever ridden one of these, in some ways, I kind of relate it to being like in the county library. I mean, people are like, they're on their phones or iPads, or they've got a newspaper, or they're just sitting there quiet, but there's not a lot of loud talking. And so we're in there, and people are getting in and milling around trying to find their seat. And we hear this. Patricia! It's Pat's mom. She's the only one that calls her Patricia. Patricia, where are you? That's my wife right over there. She's going, Mom, I'm here. You know, don't chill. You know, don't make this scene. I'm right here. The woman in our story, she must have been making this horrific scene, but Jesus did not send her away. Instead, he said something that was really confusing to the disciples. And you find it in an alternate text in Matthew 15, verse 24. God sent me only to the lost sheep, the people of Israel. It must have been shocking for the disciples to hear. If they had been confused by Jesus' apparent lack of interest in helping the woman, they're really confused now. But I think Jesus was actually teaching what I call a paradigm shift. It sounded as if Jesus, is that it? Like he was just as prejudiced as anybody else. But it was really meant to remind the disciples of something that he had often told them. And that is that he had come to save everyone who would accept him. And Jesus turned to the woman. Can you picture her rushing up to him, falling to the ground, crying, Lord, help me? Jesus' heart, it must have been breaking on her behalf. But his lesson must continue. He knew it was for the benefit of his disciples and for us. He wanted his disciples to learn the message, the gospel message is to go not just to the Jews, but to the entire world, red and yellow, black and white. We are all precious in his sight. The disciples needed to know that, and we need to know that. And so Jesus said, here in Mark 7, it is not right to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. The New King James Version, which I have with me this morning, says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. In other words, the puppies. The Greek word is kunaria, the little dogs. And I love what this woman, how she replied. She said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs, the puppies, eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. My wife and I have a dog. It started out as our youngest son's dog, and about 3 years ago now, he wanted us to take Yogi. Her name's Yogi. She is almost nine now. She's a Cocker Spaniel, black with some gray spots on her, and she's spoiled rotten. How many of you have dogs? Okay, so you can probably relate to this, and so at mealtime, she doesn't bug my wife quite as much as she bugs me because she knows I'm the sucker in the family. At mealtime, I'm sitting there in the chair, and she is right there on the floor going, you know, it's like giving you the look, like, are you going to give me something? And I do. But if I don't give her something quite as quickly as she thought, or if she thinks I'm not paying attention, here's what she does. She takes her paw and she goes, whew, and she swipes me. Do any of your dogs do that? Where they get your attention, they go, whew, they swipe your leg and say, hey, I'm here. Are you paying attention to me? The woman said, even the little puppies eat the crumbs. What a clever answer. Jesus must have laughed out loud. There was no mistaking the look of love on his face now. And he said, woman, you have great faith. I will do what you ask. And the woman's daughter was healed from that moment. You know, we don't know if Jesus turned to his disciples as he finished this lesson and explained what he had said and done. He had shown that this woman wasn't a heathen outsider, but she's actually a child of God. And as a child, she could always have a share of his gifts. You know, it still happens. We still pray, and we feel that no one is listening, that we're being ignored. We feel, if not like dogs, like second-class citizens. Others are heard, but our prayers are not heard. And, you know, if you ever face this kind of situation, all we can do is to remember that we don't see the big picture, but Jesus does. Each of us is special, unique, precious, and each of our lives, we're on a different course. And so there's only one way to maintain faith and hope when our prayers don't seem to be answered. Jesus used the method he chose with the Greek woman in order to teach this very important lesson. It's not that he didn't hear the woman or didn't listen the first time. His answer was, wait. Sometimes Jesus says, wait. When you really get to know Jesus, you'll know that he doesn't toy with us. Every story shows you a heart filled with love for human beings, a heart determined to do whatever it takes to save them from a world of sin and pain. And for this dear mom, her waiting was now over. Matthew 15:28 says, great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Just check this out. From afar, Jesus didn't go to their home. He just said, you can go home, your daughter is well. Like the nobleman's son in John 4 and the centurion's servant in Luke 7, the daughter of the Canaanite woman was healed at a distance, not in Christ's immediate presence. And in all three cases, the healing was immediate and complete. And so here's the appeal. We serve an awesome God. He cares about us. He has our best interest as his desire. And my prayer is that our faith will be strong, and our love for him will be steadfast.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.